This Trey Turner of the Steelers, man. I'm here on the BTM podcast where you can come and hear me chat about my city, everything that I love about it. Of course, I'm talking about the Steelers and everything that I love, man. Appreciate y'all.
Let's go behind the mask.
Yep, and we are back at it, man. What's up? What's happening? I am your host, Takiyo Spikes, joined alongside one of my best partners of all time.
Your favorite plus size model, Tucson Reyes, in the building.
Plus size model, this is a special day for the Behind the Mask podcast.
I already know it.
Simply because of the reason I'm outnumbered again. Two offensive linemen. One backer. You guys are always my best friend. So without further ado, man, we want to bring to the stage and welcome five-time Pro Bowler, offensive guard, for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And y'all give it up for Trey Turner. What up, yo, Trey?
I'm chilling. What up, fellas?
What's good, man? How you doing, man?
Man, no complaints. How y'all doing over there?
All is well. Can't complain. Like Spike said, man, him being a linebacker, he always got these defensive guys on the show and everything. So anytime you get an offensive lineman to really go behind the mask, I'm appreciative. So thank you for coming on out your busy schedule, brother.
Appreciate y'all, man.
Yeah, man. We I think the big thing is, bro, like we like to mix it up and have some diversity across the board when it comes to positions. So anytime we get an offensive lineman on, man, so we gotta go behind the mask and we gonna start out with this game that we have this or that to warm everybody up, the audience, to who Trey Turner really is.
So let's see. Say you're getting ready for the game, and we know you're from New Orleans, but there's rumors about somebody being the GOAT now. There's word about somebody being the GOAT in hip-hop now. So you're getting ready for a game, this or that. Who does Trey Turner listen to, Lil Wayne or Drake?
That's my only two options.
Can put cash money in there, too, now.
Man, I love the hometown. I always ride for New Orleans, but before game, I'm on some old Jeezy, to be honest.
Oh, nice.
With that Jeezy, huh?
There you go.
I'm on some Jeezy.
Jeezy gets you hyped for the game, man, ready to rock?
Yeah, it's just a different mentality. You play it in the trenches, sure. When you're in the trenches, you got to have a trench mindset. That's all.
Already. Well, what about this then? The year is 2021, and Trey Turner's final three options to go back to school is Auburn, Ole Miss, and LSU.
Oh, LSU.
What school do you pick? 2021 right now.
I'm going to LSU. We're gonna make it right.
Again?
So, we got some time. We could write it. It's okay.
Oh, man. See, Spice with the Auburn. I went to Ole Miss, so you went to LSU. So that's a whole SEC vibe right now. You still rocking with LSU, man?
We got the one up, though. I mean, with all due respect, we got the one up on both of them schools.
Trey, hold up. Settle down now. We put y'all across our lap this year.
Man, look.
I just had to think about that.
We having some issues this season. We caught a few casualties early, and, it just kind of spiraled downhill. Sometimes you have seasons like that. You can't always expect to get wine with grapes. Sometimes you just have sour grapes, and you just got to, keep pushing forward. What I'm saying?
We're going to make sure we send you some more grapes to start that fermentation process over that big guy.
No doubt. So the holiday season is coming up, for those that celebrate. So, Trey Turner, what's your favorite holiday, Thanksgiving or Christmas?
I'm going to say Thanksgiving because of the food.
True.
In New Orleans, you always get food holidays, whether it's Thanksgiving or Christmas. But Thanksgiving, majority of the fam around. Thanksgiving might be a little bit more affordable. Everybody don't feel like they can't come around because they don't have a gift for somebody. So everybody just pop up, come get some grub, come just show love, and just be around the fam. Usually it's a little chilly, so you got the heat rocking.
Yeah,
Graham's cold, so you got to make sure you keep the door closed. Y'all know how it is, man. Sure.
Oh yeah, you got to have those cold to dope beverages. Quite handy, a couple of calves.
100%, 100%.
overcoming the odds, rewriting the playbook, delivering under pressure. The MVPs of small business lead their teams to victory all year long. Visa is proud to provide playmakers everywhere with more tools to help grow their business and help them achieve even greater success. Because the more people we can empower, the more we all win.
Visa, a network giving small businesses tools to grow.
New Orleans got some dope food, man. I ain't gonna lie. That's probably one of the top cities in the States I've been in when it came to food. And I don't even eat gumbo and all of that jambalaya and stuff, but they got some good damn food down there, man.
Where you from?
I'm from New York.
All right, okay. So you know about food.
Yeah, he know. He been in the South long enough. He went to Ole Miss.
that's a big jump.
hey, bro, after when I look at it overall, you got drafted to Carolina. Mm-hmm. And that's when I first saw, I was like, man, who this dude out here just roll grading folks? Mm-hmm. And I actually had very good technique while you was doing it too. But bro, I want to know, like, after you get drafted by the Panthers, you become a Pro Bowler, and then several years later, you get traded to the Chargers. Like, how difficult was that change to be able to go through that?
You know, at that point in time, it was just a transition overall within the whole situation in Carolina. My coaches have been fired. Coach Rivera had been fired. So that was a transition. And, you know, after the season, we knew it was a new regime coming in. And, you know, man, you've been in the league, man. When you're making a nice little chunk of change, man, after a while, you're like, man, we need some change, man. We could probably allocate that somewhere else. And,
yeah, you know, I've been through happened. It.
That's what happened, man. So then I went out to L.A. And, you know, when I got there, everything was smooth. And then I started off the season kind of rocky, man. First week of the season, we practiced and we getting ready to play the Bengals. And it's a Wednesday practice. Actually, it was a Thursday practice. So we had got through the meat potatoes of the week. So Thursday, you know, now you're getting a little bit more, but you kind of got the basis of what your week going to be. And it's a couple last periods, and we had a run play. Guy fell on me, and I got an MCL sprain. And this before the first game, so boom, I missed the first game. Came back and played the second game, and then doubled back. Going into the third week, we're getting ready to play the Panthers. So, you know, I'm trying to play that game for sure. That's a game I'm excited about.
Yeah, right.
And then that week in practice again on a Thursday, some fluke happened, and then boom, I tore my adductor. So I was out for, the next 7-8 weeks or so. So I was out. I ain't played too many games out there. And then when I did play, you know, just coming back, it was subpar. It was just regular, you know, trying to get back into the swing of things at that point. Already not having a great season, boom, coaching staff get let go again. So after they got let go, I get released. And, you know, I find a home with Mike T and the Steelers, man. And, it's been cool, man. I came in and just been enjoying it so far.
Yeah, you talk about the Steelers, one of the most storied franchises in the NFL. So going to a little bit more, what is it like being in Pittsburgh as opposed to the other places you've been so far in your career?
Definitely a vet-friendly place, I would say that. You kind of, and what I mean by that is you come to work, you do your job, and you get out. And I know that sounds simple enough, but a lot of places is a lot of fluff you have to deal with. Here, it's not too much fluff. It's exactly, you come in, you get your work in, you take care of your business, and when your business is done, you take care of whatever else you need to go take care of. And I like that because it puts a responsibility on you from the standpoint of you got to come and prepare, you got to come in knowing what's going on and knowing what you got to do. It's not a place where you exactly could come in and you hadn't looked at your stuff the night before, yeah, or you hadn't, you know what I'm saying, you're not up to speed on what's going on. So that's kind of different.
This segment is brought to you by McDonald's, proudly serving communities since 1965, which takes me back to my childhood years playing Pop Warner football. We were playing for the championship and we were down at halftime. Our coach was looking for something motivational. So what did he do? He looked at us and said, guys, if you do what you're supposed to do and win this football game,
I'm taking everybody to McDonald's. Immediately, my mind went to, oh my goodness, I can't pass up this apple pie. So what did we do? Went out second half, beat the football team, won the championship, and we all indulge at McDonald's. I'm loving it.
Man, that's wild. And obviously being an offensive lineman, man, it's a part I like. Because, see, Spike swear that linebackers is the best in-shape athletes on the field. And I say it's the offensive lineman because we never come out the game. Right? Yeah, so, sure. So let this cat know, man. You got a double-digit drive on offense. Who gets more tired when they back us to the goal line? Who's more tired at the end of that double-digit drive? The offensive lineman or the linebackers?
So you saying like a 13-play drive, 14?
Yep.
I mean, I think you know the offensive side will be way more tired. But you got to think, bro. Let me put this into concept for you. So we had a 14-play drive on Sunday night.
I saw that.
You got to think.
6 minutes and 37 seconds, I think.
Yeah, something like that. So I'm seeing two different D linemen, maybe three. The same linebacker might be in for the most part, but y'all gonna rotate. The only people that stand in the game for the most part is probably your corners and your safety.
Right.
So you got to think, I'm seeing the whole different group of seven guys and they rotate, and I'm going in there straight. It's inevitable for you to be as tired as me. Like, there's no way possible. You don't have a squirt of water. You know what I'm saying? You don't went to the side. You don't put your hands on your hips. Everything you done had to do to recover, to come back out and to stop me from going there. And I'm in the game still pressing, still going. Time out of, come on, man. That's not even much a question. And second to that, you just see ball, run ball. I have to think about everything that I have to do. So my job is way more meticulous than your job is.
Thank you. So we are the better athletes, correct?
I mean, for sure. You have to be there mentally and physically. If you're not there, then you will be on somebody's highlight team.
Hands down.
All right. See, like, y'all forgetting one thing.
What?
The reason why y'all make adjustments is due to the fact that we make adjustments off of what you first showed us. So if you change what you're doing, that means we have to think and change what we are doing as linebackers.
Mm-hmm. And I give you that, but you still get a break. You still get to go to the sideline, get a shot of water when you're too tired to talk. When you run sideline to sideline, you got somebody else that's coming in while you tapping your head, walking to the side with your hands.
You know what I'm saying?
That's all I'm saying. When I got to pull from side to side, I'm still in.
He know what it is, man.
I hate y'all.
That's what I'm talking about, Trey. Let him know.
Hate y'all. Yeah, man.
I'm just saying.
Teaming up on me.
Yeah. D-linemen take 20 plays a game, man. And, you know, they get a sack and it's all well for them. So, you know, that's all I'm going to say.
You can whoop them 50 plays of the game. They get one tackle for loss or one sack and then all of a sudden they had a good game. No, you didn't. You had a good play.
Yeah.
That's it.
You know it. I agree with you on that. Thank God we're talking about D-linemen, not Mike linebackers, which usually stay in the game the entire time. But we won't switch.
I'm just saying, not all do. Not all do.
Come off the field third down, nickel situation, all of that, because y'all can't cover nobody. But anyway, that's another story.
And they can't flip them hips, bro.
You know what I'm saying?
Hey, dog. No, it was impressive, bro, to be able to see, you know, Big Ben, you guys taking care of Ben. They've been revamping the line over the last 2 years. And mathematically, you guys still have a shot. Obviously, you're not out of it, but you still got a shot to determine where you want to be in the playoff lineup. What are your expectations, man? You talked about this is your first year coming to a historic franchise, and you're given the opportunity to be a vet. And when you be a vet, you can leave a vet, get your work done, get out. But what's the expectation for you personally?
You know, just every week to put an exclamation point on my work. And that's every week. You know, I maintain a 1-0 weekly. You know, everything isn't perfect. You're not going to win every game, man. I've been in the league long enough to know that and realize that it's any given Sunday, and that's not just talk. That's a true statement. It's any given Sunday. Yeah. But I want to put an exclamation point on my work every week to go out and put on my best film and put on my best show throughout the week. And my mindset, honestly, is simple, man. We got to win that right guard. If we don't win that right guard, I mean, nothing else matters. So it starts with myself. We got to win that right guard. And then, you know, if I'm on pace and doing what I got to do, then I got to continue to get those nuggets to the right tackle. Then I got to get that to the center. And then that, it just leaks out like that. And it just keeps going. It goes from the line to the tight ends, to the backs. Backs to the receivers, to the running, to the quarterback. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's how I try to be of value. You know, a lot of people lead with words. I feel like I lead more with my actions and with my play more than anything. You said we had a chance to put ourselves where we want to be, and that's still present.
Yep.
You know, when you start to get to these games in late November and December, man, that road get a little narrow. It ain't a two-lane street no more. It's just one lane. And, right. You know, if somebody coming in front of you, it's you or them. So right. we gotta get them off that road. And like I said, my agenda is to go 1-0. And if you know, I talked to you in 7 weeks, and I went 1-0 seven times, and I'll be having a big smile on my face. So we'll see what happens.
You're talking about moving the people from in front of you, man. As a 5-time Pro Bowler, you're doing something right. But I want to ask, who are some of the tougher defensive linemen that you had to go against?
Man, I always start with giving respect to my OGs when I first came into the league, and that was my Gerald McCoys. That was my Ndamukong Suh. I'm talking about in Detroit, though.
Just nasty suit.
Yeah, it was a little different. I'm talking about I remember we used to play. I don't know what it was in Carolina. We would play Seattle like every year, felt like. And I remember just playing like Mee Bain and Michael Bennett and Cliff Avon and going against like them dudes, and not just so much of guys, but like complete lines, like where everybody on that line could rush and they could also defend a run, you know, like complete teams, if that makes sense. Yeah. So I would definitely say those guys, but I mean, now, you know, you got your modern day heroes, you know, your Aaron Donalds and, you know, your Fletcher Coxes and stuff like that. But to be honest, bro, be the guy that don't get too many snaps, that you don't see too often, that come in there and he just doing some unorthodox stuff. You're like, bro, what the hell?
That's older guys.
Yeah. That's really what it'd be like. When you got the big name guys, you kind of know what you're expecting. But when you got the, you're like, man, when they signed you? Yeah, you know, it'd be those that come in and kind of, you know, throw you for a loop sometimes.
That should be the worst, because you like, ain't got no film on him.
No film. No, none. He could do anything. You just don't know. Yeah.
Hey, when you look at, you talk about personnel, and I think that's one of the hardest things to be able to do, bro, because when you're going up against somebody, especially as a rookie, like, you hear the hype, but you really don't see it until you actually get a chance to watch them on tape.
Mm-hmm.
I want to get your thoughts on Najee. The Steelers have always been, I would say, in more recent years, I felt like they needed that go-to back. Mm-hmm. I was drafted into that division with mm-hmm. Cincinnati. But what have you seen out of Najee to make you just say, as an offensive guard, oh, he's that dude, dog?
Toughness. And I've been around some pretty good backs, like some really good backs. And it's a lot of good backs that has so many attributes that add to their game, but they lack toughness. And it's a lot of backs that didn't have too much game, but they had toughness. And that was their game. So to be able to have game with the attributes and toughness to it, I think that's the best way to describe Najee. He's just smart. And when I say he's smart, he's just a smart football player. He knows football. He knows where to make the cuts, what cuts to make. And he knows when to lay that hat. You know, he knows when to put his shoulder down. He got to get a yard and how to fight for it. I just think he's a good dude. He did go to Bama, so that's probably the only thing that I really don't vibe with.
Yeah, I can attest to that. We all can.
But outside of that, man, just a good kid. And just he just want to win. And it's good being around a back that just want to win. Because sometimes, you know, as offensive lineman, I'm real and I'm honest. And that's what you ain't get in bad situations. Sometimes it's not always perfect blocks and it's not perfect holes, and they make you look really good. And sometimes you do have perfect blocks and you make them look good. So I just appreciate having a back that's able to put me in advantageous situations and make me look really good with the decisions that he make and the way that he hit the hole.
Well, you know what? I got to represent, as I always do, for the offensive lineman. You know what I'm saying? Plus size model, 300-pound ninja. You know what I'm saying? We're all over there, chasing over there. We cutting them up over here. But a 4.8 4.40, Trey, is that what you ran?
You know the vibes.
Wow. Like, I could never do
man,
that.
Man, wow. Listen. Man, so I told you I'm from New Orleans. I tell you a story. As my dog's just barking, man, me and the homie, we was just walking one day. Just a random day. Let's call it a Thursday. It's a random Thursday at like 4:30, 5 o'clock, just walking and talking. All you hear is like a gate rattling, like a little fence rattling. So we look to the right, peer off a little bit, and you see a big dog and a little dog, a medium-sized dog and a little dog. So kind of just like, man, what are you trying to do? Like the gate shaking, and before you know it, we looking and the two dogs running. Now my homie played wide receiver, you know, athlete. Wide receiver, you know, skill, got all that good stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know, we take off the gun. I'm talking about just a straight shot. And before you know it, I ain't seen nobody next to me. I ain't seen nobody in front of me. That's all I'm going to say. it was just me, you know, I leading the pack. And, you know, I kind of just got comfortable leading the pack. So, you know, the speed just came.
Hey, that's dope. I got my ass bit by the dog. Bit me in my ass. German Shepherds. I hate German Shepherds, man. Bit me in my ass, man.
No, I couldn't take that.
Shit, me neither.
Hey, dog. I want to switch gears, bro, because you was on that Carolina team yourself, one of the guys who fortified the offensive line with Cam Newton. Now you ended up leaving. He left, went somewhere else, eventually came back. Like, I want to get your thoughts on him being released and then now seeing him have the opportunity to come back and to be successful for the moment, you know, even though they lost recently, but he still played well.
Yeah. You know, it's a part of the game, man. You know, I don't know, because, you know, we not in them rooms with them decision makers, and I don't really know what's on these little stat charts. You know, the boxes that they check are what they see, but, you know, ball is ball. People don't forget how to play ball. Ball is more of an instinctually thing than an analytical type of deal.
Preach.
I feel like, you know, when you have certain athletes and you're trying to confine them to a number system, it don't necessarily work out in the best, you know, in the interest of the team. And sometimes it actually goes outside of what actually is really going on. Mm-hmm. I'm just happy that dude able to come back and ball and just show the people, you know. And it's not necessarily about wins and losses. In my opinion, I think it's more about the way that he goes out, performs, and it looks visually. Because, you know, there's a lot of things that go on Sundays that I think a lot of people can attest to and be like, what is this? So just him able to be out there, you know, back to what he, you know, I feel like he's supposed to be. I'm just happy for my bro.
Moving forward, man, you with the Steelers. Hopefully that can continue with all the success. But looking back, who are some of the offensive linemen, guards, tackles, what have you, that when you were coming up, you were like, all right, I want to model my game after this play?
Marshall Yonder, for sure. Mm-hmm. I would definitely say Marshall Yonder. I mean, just when you look at the body of work that he put together for a continuous amount of time, I don't look at offensive linemen and think that you should be like this all the time. I look for this. If you're able to consistently go out and do your job week by week, you may not always splash, but if you just kind of just do what you're supposed to do, being what you're supposed to be, that's the ones that set the tone, and that's the ones that continue to be good. Hold on, man.
Hey, man.
As your dog?
Yeah, man, I got my English bulldog, my boy tripping right now.
Bring him on the screen. We all come on the screen, man. We behind him back, man. It's all good.
What's his name?
Apollo.
Apollo, what up? I see you over there starving and everything, Apollo.
Yo, so check it. As an offensive lineman, right, we rarely get our names called unless it's for, you know, penalty holding or all sides or something like that. But, you know, we're going behind the mask. So what are some of the things that you wish people knew about Trey Turner?
Wish they knew about me? Man. I don't know, man. I feel like I put out for what I want people to see. Like, I vibe with clothes. Like, clothes is a big part of my life. And I feel like that's just express who I am or how I'm feeling that day, rather. I really like art. That's something that I've gotten into.
What form of art?
Huh?
What form of art?
I just like art in general. I guess you could call it, whether it be pop art or you could call it realism, or however you want to view it.
Yeah.
Okay. A few artists that I like is Nicholas Party. Mm. Another guy that everybody knows would be Carl, stuff like that. I like to cook. I cook pretty often. I could cook pretty good too.
What's your dish? What you making for Thanksgiving, man?
Thanksgiving, we're gonna have some stuffed bell peppers. We're gonna have some macaroni, some crawfish or some shrimp dressing. You know, you make the cornbread dressing and stuff, and New Orleans, we do a crawfish or shrimp. We're gonna have that. And definitely gonna have some sauteed green beans. That's one of my favorites. Some yams. You know, people like to say sweet potatoes. They yams to me, though.
Give me them yams. Universal word.
Yeah. Yeah, some yams. You know, some light work.
Hey, bro, yeah. What's the difference from jambalaya and
gumbo?
And gumbo.
Oh, two totally different worlds. Totally different worlds. Gumbo is well, both of them can consist of roux, but it's more of a soup base, if that makes sense. It's more soupy and more liquid.
Yeah.
Compared to gumbo. Gumbo has a liquid base to it, but it's not as, it shouldn't be as runny. It should be kind of thicker. It should be more like jambalaya should be more like a risotto, if that makes sense.
Gotcha.
You see what I'm saying?
Like, yeah.
Like a risotto. So, and gumbo is, it's two different things. How you got that confused?
No, because it's like, no, I was trying to tell the cat here from New York, man. Tell him, man, food from New York City.
Yeah, I don't eat neither one. I just, you know.
Look, I'm trying.
You had it and it wasn't good.
New York City? Get a rope.
But no, I know with gumbo, you put the rice in after the fact, right?
Yeah.
So that's the reason why, like, you know, I can make my own and it tastes good to me, but, you know, I might have to make sure I'm going to have to do that next time I go to New Orleans, Bourbon Street. I'm going to go, not on Bourbon Street.
Nah,
I'm going
to
go.
We're
going to pull up on you, Trey. Look.
We not going nothing. I ain't take you. Listen, we going away from that way, cause that way is where we. You know what I'm saying?
That ain't
for us. We going somewhere else. Thank I'm gonna you. Take you to where we supposed to be at.
There it is.
Say less.
I'm gonna hold you to it.
Say less.
No, that's a different flavor down there.
Hey, is before we let you get out of here, bro. Like I said earlier, definitely appreciate the time. But if it was an opportunity for you to be inside of our shoes right now, what would you ask yourself that we didn't ask you, that you would want people to know?
Who thought of that question? that's a question.
because I can just think, you know, like Tutan, you said, you talked about the offensive linemen. The offensive linemen never get enough praise.
Yeah.
They never get they never receive the true earnings and the rewards from the time that y'all put in. You know what I mean? So, you know, that's the reason why I came up with that question.
You know what? That is a fire question, but as a lineman, I kind of like it that way, for real. And the reason being is because I'm kind of a low key guy, for real. Yeah. I mean, you know, I have what I have, I do what I do, and I'm blessed beyond measure to be in the position that I'm in. But it's kind of cool to be able to go to the supermarket and just get my grocery. You know what I'm saying? From time to time, you know, somebody holler at me, just give them a little nod. You know what I'm saying? It's I recognize that you recognize me, but for the most part, I'm just vibing, man. So as low as it is to be a lineman from the accolade standpoint or from the recognition standpoint, it's kind of cool because I just get to kind of just stroll through life as I intend to. Like, I'm not looking for nothing else extra outside what I'm doing, because I'm doing exactly what I need to and what I want to be doing. So I don't know. I don't really have an answer to that question, but that's just my take on it.
One last question, bro. Pittsburgh Steelers make a late season playoff run, make it to the Super Bowl, get the dub. Trey Turner pulls around, lead blocks Najee, scores a touchdown, Steelers win. Where's the first place Trey is going? Because you know that play is going to be on every highlight. Where's the first place Trey is going after the Super Bowl?
After the Super Bowl? So I went to the Super Bowl. I lost the Super Bowl.
Right.
So I know what it's like to get that confetti dropped on you, get roped off the field.
Same here.
So, we had the Super Bowl. I know all my people are going to be there. My mom's going to be there. And I'm just going to run to my people and just, I don't know, man. I thought I could imagine what it would be like to win that game, but I can't imagine what it's going to be like to win, because I know what it feels like to lose. You know what I'm saying? So it's that much harder for me to imagine what it feels like to win. So we win that. Well, I'm going to go crazy. I'm going to New Orleans, though. That's I'm going to New Orleans. We're going to shut the city down. I'm going to throw my own parade. That's what I'm doing.
You going to throw your own second line?
Facts. But, man, it's going to come, though. You know, it's just God's time. I'm just waiting on it.
Yeah. Well, you make sure you save room for plus two down there, bro, because you need to educate us. And so hopefully we'll get the plus size model over here, give him a taste test of that jambalaya.
Man, look, whenever you're ready, I got a spot, Katie's. I can tell y'all the Katie's. They got this spot called The Store. Like, that's really what it's called, The Store. Get you some of the best red beans you ever had in your life. I could bring it by my mama house. My mama would love to cook for you. Wherever y'all want to go, I got y'all. Y'all just let me know when is that time. We got Mardi Gras this year, so after we go on the little Super Bowl run, we go catch some bees and stuff at Mardi Gras. We go vibe.
We get the back out bad for 2 weeks, dog. Straight.
Say less, I'm there. No doubt, man. We appreciate you, bro.
Good looking, y'all. I appreciate the opportunity, man.
Right on.